Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
And welcome back to the Expressway. We're here again for another week of exciting world of sports action, specifically New York Giants and New York Jets football, as well as other interesting things that are on our minds. And I was just telling Billy and Ben, our producers back in Illinois, about I have some issues. We did our segment last week, Billy, about top running backs in the all-time great running backs in the NFL. And you know something? Since the fullbacks were in such a unique category and there aren't that many fullbacks, so I decided to Google the best fullbacks of all time. And you know, I had about 50 fullbacks on that list, right?
Yep.
And guess who was not on the list?
Charles Wade.
And Charles Wade was not on the list. And so I don't know. I'm a very humble individual, but that hurts someone's feelings because I saw some of the names on the list. And I'm like, I can't even get on that list. I not only played for 5 years, but fullbacks don't play for very long. And so I'm kind of upset. And we can talk about that throughout. I'm going to name some of the people that I saw on the list. And like I said, everybody has their own opinion, but I could have at least made 42. I didn't even get 42. And so I got to go through the list with you because that kind of perturbed me a little bit. So we got a lot to talk about, Billy T. But hey, I just want to introduce, I'm Charles Show Me The Way. This is BT Express Billy Taylor. We go through four quarters of exciting action. First and second quarters are usually New York Giants football news. Since it's quiet, we'll talk about some OTAs, some new New York Giant news, no Jet news. And then we'll talk in the third quarter about maybe how come I was exempt from that list. And then next week, I'm going to bring back some highlights and you guys tell me if I should have been on the list. I looked at some of these other guys' highlights and I'm like, I can't even make a highlight reel. And I'm like, good Lord. Come on, Billy T, what's going on?
Everything is great, Charles. I love this time of the year. It's the last day of you know, a certain time before summer gets going. So I love the heat. I don't like the cold. But question for you, Charles Way. How many years you blocked for Tiki Barber?
If you count in college, five.
Okay, now he gained 1,500 yards how many times?
At least two or three, yeah.
Yeah, see, and you were the lead blocker on most of them, right?
On most of them, yeah.
You see, I'm trying to hype you up now.
That's right. I hear you.
What about Tyrone Wheatley?
Let me just tell you something. The story is, it was Rodney Hampton, it was Tyrone Wheatley, and it was Gary Downs, and it was towards the end of the season during Dan Reeves. This is my second year. Actually, my first year, too. First year under Dan Reeves, everybody's hurt. We're playing San Diego, the last game. That's that famous snowball game in San Diego where everybody's throwing snowballs. And Junior Seau is the man, future Hall of Famer. Yep. We get on the goal line. I kid you not, I still have this picture. I still got the video. Mano y mano, me and Junior Seau. I popped the mess out of that brother, and we went into the end zone and scored. I ran the ball that game because Dan Reeves didn't have anybody else. And do you know something? The following day, you know how they had exit interviews. Dan used to have exit interviews with all of the players. You come in and sit down and listen to him and tell you what you need to do to get better. He actually told me, you know, man, I really regret not using you more in the run game. the following year, I'm going to, you know, next year, we're going to put you more in the run game. We're going to feature you more in the run game. Lo and behold, next year comes around, they don't feature me in the run game until they have to. And so that, I mean, I'm like, I put in at least five. I know I only played 5 years, but that's the average. But I put in 5 good years.
Well, see, the thing about it is that coaches have bad memories. And I just lived over the years. First of all, there's a lot of bad coaches. Yeah, that's what I discovered. And this year with Coach Dabo of the New York Giants, he's shown me that there's a lot of bad coaches because he's doing things on need. And he's coaching people up. He's making them better. And so I think that Dan Reeves probably forgot because he has so much stuff in his head. Think about it, because, you know, there's a quarterback controversy. I think he named Hostetler over Sims. Is that correct back then?
Yeah.
And so I thought Sims should have been in there, but Hostetler was more mobile, and that's why I think he did that. But I think you got to go remind him, Charles. You got to say, you remember last year you told me? Because I did that before. I think my third year I had to remind the coach, yeah, you said you're going to pass the ball to me more because I got good hands. And he told me he forgot. And so that kind of makes me mad, because why would you say something like that to somebody? And you got 53 guys in the team and you say something to each person. I guess it's good they remember their names.
You know? Yeah, no, it was, and he did the same thing the following year. I mean, he knew he was leaving. You know, that was Dan Reeves last year with the Giants. He knew he was leaving. This was against New England. It was just me and Gary Downs. It was just the two of us. The last two remaining running backs, Rodney was hurt. Tyrone Wheatley was in the doghouse, and I think he was hurt a little bit. And so it was just me and Gary Downs, and he had to give me the ball. I ran well, and he said the same thing. He said, man, I really wish I would have used you, but I'm not going to be here next year, so it's not my problem. So,
anyway, CW, I think that you should bring in some highlights next week so, you know, we can all make a judge. And I saw every game, so I knew that you were a great fullback. I knew it because, you know, back then, after I retired, I was doing all the Giant games. But anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about today was that the NFC East is ranked as the top division by CBS Sports. And 2 years ago, they were saying this is the worst division in football. They were talking about, you know, the Eagles were down, the Giants were 0-7 or 1-6. And they talked about the Cowboys may be in the top of the division. How could that turn over in 2 years? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think obviously the Eagles is top heavy of the entire NFC East. And the NFC, for that matter, the entire NFC, they're picked by many people to go back to the Super Bowl and potentially win it again. And so I think because NFC East is so top heavy with Philly and Philly being so good, it kind of raises the level and the bar for everyone else. Obviously Dallas is synonymously always put in that number two category, and they should, rightfully so. On paper, they have a great team, or a good team, not a great team, but a good team. And if certain individuals play up to their abilities, they have a chance to be an even better team. I think if you look on paper, Dallas probably has the skill set, the skills at each position to actually compete with Philly, if you had to look at the entire division on paper. And that's basically, you know, your boy Zach has to play well. If Zach plays well, I think defensively, Dallas can hang with Philly's offense. I think his offense and defense, I don't know if Dallas's offense, based on Zach's previous performances, can hang with the Philly's defense, because Philly's defense is a juggernaut.
They did good in the draft. Yep.
Yeah, and they restocked that defense. So I'm impressed by their defense. And then when you look at the Washington Redskins, I think because they've changed ownership, I think that's why you got a lot of positive signals around the team, because ownership has changed. The culture should be changing, and hopefully that'll foster an environment of winning, and that's what they're hoping for. As far as the Giants, I read some things about the Giants this past week that said they had one of the worst off seasons in the NFL. And I'm like, how do you figure that when they got a tight end that's a playmaker?
Yep.
They signed, this is Daniel Jones' second year.
Yep.
A quarterback that's taken him to the Super Bowl, they addressed their offensive line issue, and they addressed at the rookie cornerback, the Deontay Banks situation. So I can't see why, based on those offseason roster moves, how this has been one of the worst offseasons for the Giants.
Well, see, the reason I think the prognosticators are wrong is because they don't know Brian Daboll, the head coach. What he does is he looks at what the players do and devises his system around them instead of the opposite way, which most coaches do. They have a system and they put people in it. And I think real good coaching is the one that looks at the player, sees what he does best, and devises a program that can fit him. If you look at what they did with Danny Jones last year, I was so impressed because, you know, Danny Jones wasn't a great drop back passer, but he moves well outside the pocket, right and left. So he made him run outside the pocket and give him one side to read on. And I thought that was great coaching. And we were just talking about the Dallas Cowboys and all their talent. You think if Brian Daboll went to the coach of the Cowboys, they would get further in the playoffs because of his coaching staff?
Absolutely. And I think that's why I was so afraid of Sean Payton going to Dallas, because I think that they have the talent to be one of the best teams in the NFL. I just think it's coaching and his ownership. And if they can get those two things rectified, they'll be a perennial powerhouse in the NFL for years to come, because that's a young team. But I am excited about what the Giants have done. You know, I think they're a young team. I think they'll surprise some people. Obviously, we went through the schedule and we saw what Vegas is telling us, is saying that they're only picked for 8.5 wins. Over under is 8.5 wins. I think they should be able to get a little bit more. But we'll learn a lot about this team. And you tell me if I'm wrong, we'll learn a lot about this team the first four games. If they can go 3-1 in the first four games, you should be very excited as a Giants fan.
Well, I like when coaches put it in quarters. You know, the first quarter, the first four games, how do you do and do you improve? The only thing that scares me, Charles, is there's no real – I mean, even though they have a training camp, these exhibition games don't mean anything. The Giants open up August the 7th at Detroit. And that you know, if they can get – maybe Daboll might do it differently to play his veterans a quarter or so. But the last four or five off seasons, veterans had not played at all. And I think it takes them too long to get going once the season starts. Whoever could jump out there really quickly, I think it might make the difference in their season, because the more games you win before you get to the halfway point at 8 or 9 games before you do that, if you can get up, you know, and 5 or 6 wins until you go in the second half of the season, it really makes things easier for you when you're making that playoff push.
Oh, absolutely. And think about it. I think if I'm Brian Daboll, knowing that a lot of teams coming out the gate will start slowly, and knowing how difficult on paper.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Our schedule is, I got to get my team ready to come out as gangbusters, and we got to take it differently. I know you want to come into the season healthy, but if you try to save your players and not give them the type of practices that they need to get ready to come out the gate as gangbusters, they got a potential to be an 0-4 the first four games.
Well, see, you as a fullback, you're blocking a lot, leading with your head, leading with your shoulder pads, you know, really, really connecting with the linebackers. Don't you think that you should be taking a break in training camp as far as hitting people? Or do you think that puts a calluses on you, so that by the time the real stuff starts, you're ready?
Well, you don't forget, I played an era they didn't care. Okay. So you're talking to the wrong person. When you ask that question, I'm like, when did that happen? Right. I used to come out to practice like, are you serious? You look at the schedule and you see 2-on-2, 3-on-3. That's all like mano y mano. That's mono to be like an ISO drill for 10 minutes. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We got an ISO drill for 10 minutes? They must not realize that two people actually running up against each other, hurting people. And that doesn't do anything for me. And so every time I would see that drill, I'm like, man, are you kidding me? But I'm serious. I don't think you have to practice that intense, but you have to have a meaningful and thoughtful setup for the practice, because they have to be ready. They can't wait two games, because we saw the schedule. The first half of the season is like murderer's row. 8 of the 10 teams that they play the first 10 games are teams that are picked to win something. At least they have a potential to go to the playoffs. And if they're not ready, it's going to be a rude awakening for these Giants fans and the Giants.
You listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way on the NFLAlumniMedia.com. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Giants and then talk about the Jets. Aaron Rodgers grooving to Taylor Swift at the concert. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
Welcome back to The Expressway. You're listening to the BT Express and Charles Show Me The Way. We just got finished our first quarter talking about the New York Giants, and now we're talking about the New York Jets, and everything about the Jets is about Aaron Rodgers and how he is making the Jets look like a Super Bowl winning team. And it didn't hurt that he was at the Taylor Swift concert with his, I don't know if he considers it his girlfriend or what have you, because I don't know what the relationship situation is with Aaron Rodgers, but he had a significant other on his arm at the
time. You did notice that. What's incredible for me, though, is that I was looking at the Taylor Swift tickets. The minimum was $1,000. And I'm trying to figure, you know, for him to be in the position he was, I think he was like kind of on the stage a little bit outside, right close to where she was. And he was grooving. He's trying to get his groove on. You know, and I like that. But the thing, because he's participating in all New York's events, he's gone to the hockey games, he's gone to the Knicks games, sat front row. He's really indoctrinated himself to being a New York fan. So I'm anxious to see what happens, because I don't think he's been this involved in years with the Green Bay Packers. And he seems like he wants to show the Jet fans and the Jets that he's going to be there for him. So I like what he's doing, but I don't know if his groove is that good.
Well, come on now. What is there to do in Green Bay? they don't have a cow tipping tournament in Green Bay. I mean, he's in New York. He got something to do every night if he wants to do something every night. And I think it's a different lifestyle for him. Think about it. In Green Bay, there really is. You're in the middle of nowhere. You're an hour away from Milwaukee, the next closest big city in Wisconsin. And so when he got to New York and he started looking around, he was like, man, I can walk down the street and go party, go 2 miles away and go party all night. I mean, it's just crazy. And I think it's good for him.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
To be able to acclimate yourself to the city life is good for the fans, to get to see him acclimating himself. And he's already acting different. Like when he was in Green Bay, he was more reserved, quiet, and it fit that kind of lifestyle being up there in Wisconsin. But here he's kind of morphing into a different person. And I think people are seeing he's more outgoing. He's more
people
vibrant. Yeah. And so it's just different.
Well, see, the thing for me is I remember when you guys, and I was broadcasting then, you guys were playing the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. How many times did you play in Green Bay?
At least twice.
Okay. Well, one of the games, I was doing college football on Saturday, and then I would fly to Milwaukee and then drive to Green Bay, which is a two-hour drive. I get to Green Bay. There's no hotel rooms available. There's nothing available because all those people live outside of Green Bay. Nobody lives in Green Bay. And I didn't know that. So the guy, there's a convention center. He put me a cot in the convention center, and I slept on that cot the night before the game when I was broadcast. And I that's what I learned about Green Bay, because I played there, but I didn't know that the fans are not from there. They come from Milwaukee and all around Wisconsin, and they make it a day travel for them. So I totally understand Aaron Rodgers' standpoint. To be in his position, I think he's his 17th or 18th year in the NFL. He's a top money maker, making over 50-something million a year, and to let him loose in New York, that he's lucky that he's not a young guy, that he's an older guy, because he might be taken advantage of or go somewhere where it's such a great place to be that you may not even think about going to practice.
You're not kidding. I actually saw somebody write, it was a headline that says, are the Jets the 2022 version of the Denver Broncos? And they're making a comparison of Russell Wilson being the top free agent quarterback out there. But I think it's two different people. I think Aaron Rodgers isn't even in the same category as a Russell Wilson, because he was dropping off when he was playing in Seattle. And so his play was dropping off, and Aaron Rodgers' play has still been at the top of the game. He was one of the top five quarterbacks last year, and I think he's still top five quarterback this year.
But do you think it's premature, because he's talking about the confetti that he's ready to come down when the Jets make it to the Super Bowl? And CB, the reason I don't know if that's being premature or that just showing confidence in your team, but the thing that scares me is that if you don't get there, the media is going to remind you of what you said.
I mean, he knew that when he was coming to New York. If he has one bad game, he's going to have to answer to the press. So I just think the excitement level for that team, for that fan base, is amazing. It just brings that much more to the season. And I'm looking forward to seeing that story play out. I wish they would have been on that HBO special so that everybody can see what's going on at the Jets training camp this year, so we can get the behind the scenes look at Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing on that team.
Well, he's showing me something, Charles, because they say he has a hurt calf, which is okay this time of year because you're really not doing much, but he's still out there with his teammates. He's still out there encouraging them, trying to teach people. And I think a quarterback, when you get past so many years, you should be a teacher. You should be telling people exactly what you want. It kind of downplays the other Jets, like the wide receiver Garrett Wilson. A lot of people think he's one of the best in the game, and all you hear is Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know if that's good or bad that it takes away from some of the other players, because it's not all about one player. You know, it's about your whole team, because, you know, football is a team game, and everybody's got to do their part. And the thing that I try to leave with people is that defense is different. You know, defense, you can have two guys make a mistake and then some guy come in like a superstar and make the play. Offense, it comes down to if everybody does their job and then Charles Way misses the block on the linebacker, the play doesn't work. One person makes a mistake, it doesn't work on offense. So I just think hoping people know that Aaron Rodgers is not the only one out there.
Yeah, and I think based off of what you read and what you see, especially in some of the video clips that come out that they show about OTAs, they are working together. It's just an excitement. You look at the defensive side of the ball, and like you were saying last year, everybody was so upset with Zach Wilson last year about the comments he made. It kind of permeated through the entire team, and they weren't playing well. Given that they had a bunch of talent on offense, they had a bunch of talent on defense, what was going on the offensive side of the ball was impacting what was going on the defensive side of the ball. And I think this year is a little bit different. There's some hope, especially on the defensive side of the ball, thinking, hey, I don't have to carry this team as much anymore, because we got a gunslinger on the other side that can score, that can make plays, that can make this team a whole lot better. And I think that adds to the energy you see around this football team. Just think about it. You got Jarrett Wilson, You got Mekhi Becton, who everybody has been saying this could be the cornerstone of this offensive line. He just needs to get in shape and he needs to be healthy. Lo and behold, this offseason, he's come in the best shape of probably his entire life. And so you just see the energy of the individuals, what the individuals are doing. I think that it's set up. Now, I guarantee, you know, the two people that will be blamed if the Jets don't have a good year, it'll be the head coach and the quarterback. Those are the only two people that will be getting blamed if the Jets don't perform as well as everybody thinks they should.
Yeah, but see, the thing for me is at the beginning of the season, Breece Hall, the running back for the Jets, was really putting it up and taking names. And I think that he's back to 100% because he missed most of the season. He's had his time to rehab. I think that this might be the best running game that Aaron Rodgers has had as far as having a home run hitter. A guy could easily get 1,000 yards. And so if they utilize that right, and it's going to come to the play calling ability of the head of the offensive coordinator. If they can get that straight in training camp, our offensive line is going to be very good because they had Mekhi Becton on the left side as the blind side tackle, but they put him on the right side this year. And I was wondering why they did that, because you want the blind side of your quarterback to be totally protected. And I don't know why they did that. Maybe because they didn't know the health or the situation with Mekhi Becton, because a lot of people said before the offseason, he was up to 400 pounds. And I think that's too big for an offensive tackle.
Yeah, no, he's in the best shape of it. He's showing some pictures. He's jumping on boxes. He's doing plyos. I mean, he's doing some crazy things. And so I think the right side, because of what happened and the injury issues last year, I think they want to see what he can do on the right side. If he holds it down on the right side and they need to move him to the left because they're not getting the production that they need from the left tackle, they can easily move him to the left tackle. But you know as well as I do, there has to be some versatility on that offensive line. Why change the left tackle when the current left tackle did an admirable job last year? He wasn't bad, especially since they didn't have Mekhi Becton last year. So he did a decent job. So I'm curious to see how that offensive line situation works out. And I think they have an opportunity to do something special. Even Zach Wilson is getting a lot of praise for how he's been doing in the OTA. And I think, like you said, this is an old school maturation process where you draft a quarterback, let him sit behind a top-notch quarterback and learn from that quarterback. And I think this is what Zach Wilson, if he does have the potential that the Jets thought he had when they drafted him last year, I think this is the perfect opportunity for them to cultivate that and make him the quarterback they think he could be.
Well, he might be like the guy Love, who's taken over for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, because he sat down for 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, if everything goes smoothly, I could see Aaron Rodgers being here for 2 or 3 more years. Mm-hmm. You know, if they do well and going into the playoffs and he still gets front row tickets to the Knicks and stuff like that, that's an incentive. Think about it, man. You're in a great place. Probably one of the best cities in the United States for having a good time, for going to restaurants, for just enjoying yourself. And if you work hard in your game, really get it together. I mean, then you owe yourself at least a night out once in a while to have a good time and enjoy it.
And if you win in New York, I don't think he will ever want to leave because there's too much money here that he can make in New York just by being that superstar that everybody looks up to. Look at John Starks at the Knicks games in the playoffs. Yep. Everybody and loving him. You got Mark Jackson, still a fan favorite. Patrick Ewing is one of these, you know, men that will never get off of the pedestal that they place him on. So if you win and he has a chance to be put in that category, look at what Eli is doing, right? Yep. He won 2 Super Bowls. They love Lawrence. Everybody still, despite what Lawrence Taylor's off the field issues and life issues may present, people still love Lawrence Taylor. So when you look at that, if he wins in New York, he's golden for the rest of his life. But you're listening to the Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We just are wrapping up the first 2 quarters. We're going into our 3rd quarter and taking a look
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
At the best fullbacks of all time, which with one omission. Let me get back in a moment. Welcome back to the Expressway. You're listening to the BT Express. Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me the Way. We have just got finished two quarters talking about the Jets and Giants. Now we're taking a look at the best fullbacks of all time. Since we started this best running back situation of all time last week, I wanted to see who would the internet look at as the best fullbacks of all time. And so I was just wondering, out of 10, I know I wouldn't make top 10. I probably wouldn't make top 20, top 30. But I'm like, they have 40 or 50 guys on here. And I'm like, can I get top 50? And so, BT, can I run down some of these names and you tell me if I can, if I should be worthy of just one spot? Because I haven't even heard of some of these dudes. And I'm not even on. I'm not even on them.
Go ahead.
All right. So let's go with the ones that deserve it, right? Obviously, Jim Brown was a fullback. He deserves it. Larry Zonka deserves it. Larry Sinners, he deserves it. Marion Motley, I didn't see him play, but I saw the video, deserve it. John Riggins, definitely. Rathman, definitely. Johnston, Darryl Johnston, definitely. Bronco Nagurski, definitely. Tony Richardson, what do you think? Jets, Kansas City Chiefs. 12, 14-year career, long career.
And I think probably some of them had lengthy careers. My rookie year with the Giants, Larry Zonka was the starting fullback, and he was pathetic. I mean, he was. I think he was in his 13th year, and he would sleep behind me in the meetings, and I used to have to wake him up from the coach asking a question. And I just thought, this man ain't interested in what we're doing. And I know you heard of the famous fumble they had with Herman Edwards. He was the fullback in that game in that play. That was my rookie year.
So I
just thought that he kind of mailed it in, and I don't know when he did, but when he came to the Giants, he was slow-footed. He's a big old guy. He might have been 270, something like that, when he came here, probably 20 pounds overweight. I like John Riggins, though. I really did, because he ran hard. He blocked hard. I thought he was very good. I like Tony Richardson. Darryl Johnston of the Cowboys, he probably got most of his fanfare because he was with the Cowboys. I never thought he was great, but he's a pretty good running back. I've always thought you should have been in there because, you did. If you think about it, that's why you get your nickname, Show Me the Way, because if you think about it, on some plays in between the tackles, you had the lead block and the halfback was right with you. And all people see after most people don't even see the block, but sometime after the play, the running back is going, like Tiki would be going 40 or Wheatley would be going somewhere, or Gary would be going somewhere. And they didn't realize that you were the one that really set the tone of the block. And sometimes I don't think you were appreciated as much as you should have been.
Yeah, where is John Madden when you need him? I would made the All-Madden team, too. Come on, man. Here are some other guys. So I like some of these guys. Like Mac Strong, he had a long career for Baltimore. Lorenzo Neal, he had another long career. He played for a bunch of different teams, played for the Oilers and the Chargers. You also have Howard Griffin. I mean, he was one of the in-betweens. You know who's not on here is Mike Allstott.
Wow, you're right. Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's not on here, but I think they considered him a running back, but he was a fullback. If you look at the position, But what about William Henderson? He was Florida State kid, San Francisco. I think he deserved to be on there. Yeah. But now Jerome Felton from Detroit. I don't know who that is.
Well, see, I don't think that the fullback ever got enough recognition mm-hmm. for leading the running back. Because, you know, I think I asked you the question, how many running backs did you block for? And you was telling me Tyron Wheatley, Tiki Barber, et cetera. And I know, because I know the game as well as anybody, that when Tiki Barber gets 1,500 yards, I know he had to buy you something. And what kind of prize, what kind of gifts did you get from some of the running backs who gained 1,000 yards? Because you think about it, Tiki went over 1,500 yards, and he's the Giants' all-time leading rusher, Tiki mm-hmm. Barber. And then, Tyron Wheatley, he was in the doghouse a little bit. Gary Downs, he got 1,000 yards 1 year. And I know they had to appreciate you, because even if someone doesn't from the TV station or the radio station, then that you had to be getting some nice gifts.
So the problem with my era from 95 to 99, we really didn't have that, because think about it. Rodney Hampton was coming off a bunch of knee issues, so he wasn't completely healthy. So I caught Rodney at the back end of his career. Dan Reeves didn't like Tyron Wheatley, so he was always in the doghouse and never got a chance to really show what he could do. And then Tiki came our third year was Jim Fossil's first year, and he was young. And remember, he had all those fumbling issues.
Yep, I remember.
So he really never took off. And if you think about it, in 97...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
It was Rodney, Tyrone, and Tiki. And basically it was Rodney and Tiki, because Tyrone found his way into the doghouse with Fossil too, unfortunately. and towards the middle of that season, Rodney wasn't playing anymore because his knees were shot.
Yep.
Tiki was beat up and hurt and wasn't always there. And it was Detroit's game in the middle of the season where it was just me and Rod. It was me, Tyrone, and Gary Downs, the only three running backs dressed because everybody else is hurt. And so Tyrone Wheatley, on the kickoff coming out of the second half, kicks somebody because I guess they tried to punch him in the nuts or something. So kicks somebody, and he got thrown out the game. So guess what? There's only two of us left for the rest of the game. And they said, well, we only got two people, and we don't want to run Gary into the ground. So they started giving me the ball, and I had like 67 yards in like a half. And so they started giving me the ball. And from that point on, I had 770 yards in seven to eight games from the middle of the season. So, and I had 1,000 yards total, all-purpose yards that year. So that was an exciting year for me.
Well, what do you think is happening in the future for fullbacks? Because we're going more to a passing game. And if you are a fullback, you got to be able to catch the ball out of the backfield. What do you think is happening in the future? I see the Giants have one fullback on the list, I think. Maybe two, but I only saw one on there. So does that mean that the Giants are not going to utilize that part of the running game, or just in certain situations?
Yeah, I you know what? I don't know. I think if you look at the way the Giants want to play, they want to play more of a play-action style offense. I think that's what they did to help Josh Allen when they were in Buffalo. They wanted to run the ball first, use the run to set up the pass, because that's what allows the quarterback less of an opportunity to get into trouble. But the flip side of that, it gives the defense the ability to stack eight men in the box, which that's why a lot of teams have gone to this spread offense, so that it would make it easier to run the ball. But if you look at Tennessee has made a living running that former pro style offense with Travis Henry. And Travis Henry has had 1,000 yards almost each year outside of last year when he was hurt.
Well, see, I think that the ideal situation is to be able to work on your running game. I know you got to pass a little bit more, but what makes me mad a little bit is in the fourth quarter when teams have leads, they should be running the ball and they're passing the ball and maybe even putting themselves in a situation where they could lose a game because you're not running the ball and running the clock out. So I just think in the future, I'm anxious to see what Peyton does, Coach Peyton does at Denver. Does he utilize Wilson or does he get that running game going so that Wilson, you don't have to rely on Wilson as much? I love it when you can run the ball a lot, and I like that's when your play action pass works the best. So, and then look at the Giants coming up this year. I think that if they run the ball with Saquon and the new running back they got, Nick Gray from the University of Oklahoma, then I think that this could be a year that the Giants can go forward. But Danny Jones has got to be able to make some progress this year to show people that he's legitimate also. So there's a lot of things that are going to go with it as Eric Gray of Oklahoma. But I just think that, I hope they bring the fullback back because I've always thought it was a great part of the game.
But and if you think about it, the way defenses are, you don't have the 260-pound Levon Kirkland's at middle linebacker. What really kind of deterred you from running between the tackles. But now you got safeties playing weak side linebacker or will linebacker, and so I think if you bring back that run game, that pound them out kind of game, where especially with the offensive line the Giants potentially could have with all of their pieces up front and that cohesion that it takes to have a good running game, you have an opportunity to do damage in the run game because the people on the other side, outside of Philly's defense, I think that a lot of the other defenses around the NFL are susceptible to the run game. Look at the Giants. They were 30th in the NFL against the run because I don't believe they were Leonard Williams did what he was supposed to do last year in the run game. It was just Dexter Lawrence. They had one guy in there to stop the run, and you need at least two or three guys in there to kind of hold down the fort to solidify that middle. You know that.
Well, see, that's why I like Brian Daboll, because he goes to his needs. Like he's shoring up that defensive line. They're going to be much better next year. I think the defensive back, Deontay, is going to be outstanding, Deontay Banks. And I'm looking for them because they've got all the needs that they need. If you look at what the Giants needed when they go into the offseason, they needed a defensive back, a shutdown corner. You definitely needed a wide receiver. You possibly could use a running back that could do a couple of things, and an offensive lineman when they got John Michael Smith from University of Minnesota. So I think that's why I get mad the prognosticators, because most teams go for somebody that is the best athlete on the board. But the Giants, you think about it, they went to a situation where every one of the players they got, they were needed. And that's why I'm anxious to see how he coaches them up this year. And that's why I think he's going to shock the people that thought that the Giants wouldn't make the playoffs this year.
And if you look at, think about it, if you look at the amount of points teams score in this era and the amount of points they scored in the era we played in, it's almost the same. Yeah. You don't see teams scoring 60 points, and that's why you have the RPO, because you're supposed to be able to stay on the football field and you're supposed to run up and down the field and score at will. And that's not the case. That is not the case. And I think teams have to realize that if you got a young quarterback back there, you can't just sit him back there and let him throw, because the way the defenses are being played, it's going to be hard for them to read. Look at what Zach Wilson had to go through. You can't read. You know, defenses are always on the cutting edge of changing stuff, kind of hiding what they're actually playing. And it's tough to kind of recognize that. And so when you go into a pro-style offense where you have the eye or pro formation and you can know it's going to be 8 or 9 men in the box, at least you know where everybody's going to be. And you have time after you fake the ball and everybody's biting up. You got time to kind of figure out where everybody's going to be when you get back there and drop back the pass. And I think we have a young team, and I think that's what Brian Daboll did with Daniel Jones and with Josh Allen when he was at Buffalo. He's like, look, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on this kid. He's young. Let's just let him hand the ball off, And if he doesn't like what he sees, run the ball. And that's what he did. And that's what made Josh Allen as good as he was in Buffalo.
Well, I just like Brian Daboll as far as him not being predictable. And I think from an offensive standpoint, you need to be wide open. You need to make the defense have to think also. And so that's why I think that it's going to be a heck of a year this year. I think that, you know, he's in his second year of being a head coach. He's learned a lot from last year. They got to get off to a head start. Anyway, you listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're here on every single week talking Jet Giant football. And our next quarter, we're going to go to one of our favorite subjects, the NBA action. The Miami Heat take on the Denver Nuggets. And a lot of people think that it might be a blowout, but we'll see. So move a muscle. We'll be right back with more after these messages.
Welcome back to The Expressway. You're listening to the BT Express. Billy Taylor and Charles Show Me The Way. We've been bringing you three quarters of exciting sports action, talking about the New York Jets and the New York Giants football teams and their OTAs. BT, I forgot to bring it up. There's scuttlebutt. You know Arizona Cardinals just released DeAndre Hopkins.
Yep.
You know that the Giants are in need of a good veteran receiver. What do you think about the Giants doing their due diligence on DeAndre Hopkins and possibly signing him to a contract?
Well, the reason I don't think so is, number one, character. You know, he was out half the season with PEDs, and he had some off the field problems. And the reason is because Darren Waller, that tight end that the Giants got from the Raiders, they say that him and DJ, Danny Jones, have hooked up in the OTAs, and that he looked like he may be his go-to receiver. If that is true, that's going to open up things for the wide receiver, Jalen Hyatt, who came from the University of Tennessee. It's going to open up for Darius Slayton, Sterling Sharpe, if they come back, and Wandale Robinson. And I think that, and they have the guy, they tell the guy named Isaiah Hodgins, is that his name? Yeah. He came from Buffalo, and he had a great ending last year to the season. So I think the Giants have a lot of receivers. It's going to be a big competitive situation. I do like DeAndre Hopkins. I do like him. I've loved him for a long time. I don't think he runs as great of a route as he should. I watched him run a corner route the other day, and he could have put more emphasis. I like when the corner goes to the post and then back to the corner, because it makes the defensive back thinking you're running a post instead of a corner. So I don't know. And if it wasn't for that character issue, I would say yes. But you, being in the position you are in, Charles Wade, would you bring DeAndre Hopkins in at least for a look?
I think so. I think if the one thing about the Giants organization and through the years is like, it's a different, if it's right, if they go by that old Giant tradition and they can set.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Expectations for these guys when they come in, there's a possibility that he can be the type of player the Giants need. I think with Daboll and with the new general manager and having him just sit down, bring him in, sit down and say, hey, look, this is the way we do things. You got a fresh slate. This is how we conduct our business. You come in, you go to work. We expect you to practice every day. If you're not hurt, we expect you to practice every day, not sitting out on the sideline and chilling. You got to practice every day. If he's willing to do that, I think you need to bring him in, because DeAndre Hopkins is a playmaker.
Yes, he is.
He makes plays. I mean, what we wanted Kenny Golladay to be, you know, that guy that we saw as a free agent that was making plays on tape that we said, man, we got a great guy. We got DeAndre Hopkins is that guy.
Yep.
It's like he got hands like Larry Fitzgerald almost. He was the highlight maker on that Cardinals team.
Yep.
And so that's why it intrigues me. I know they got a lot of young talent, and the young talent is really good, and you don't want to stunt that. But when you have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, that if he's right, would add Darren Waller and put a Wandale Robinson and a Jalen Hyatt in there, you're not asking DeAndre Hopkins to do a lot. He may not have to play a lot, right? He can come in certain situations. He doesn't have to play a lot. But it gives those young guys a veteran presence to teach them, if he's right, to teach them what to look for and how to be a professional and how to become the type of receiver I know they want to become.
Well, what did you think the reason Kenny Golladay didn't work out? I mean, he was making $20 million a year for the Giants and barely caught a couple passes a game. What was his shortcomings?
I think it was just the situation and the environment. You got to understand, we had gone through how many different coaches when he got here?
And so
there wasn't a real solid foundation as far as the coaching staff. And I don't think there were expectations set when he had come here because they were so excited. And I think a lot of that structure may have gotten away from him a little bit. And I think Daboll kind of brought it back when he got here. And so it was different. It was just different. And I'm just hoping that now that they do, they know, I think Daboll knows the type of environment he wants to foster. And if they clearly tell Hopkins, hey, this is how we do things here. And if you want to play here, you have to do things this way. And if he buys in, I think it's a no-brainer.
All right, CW, I'm going to switch it and transition back to the NBA. First question I have for you is that Miami's playing Denver, but the Boston Celtics, they came back down from 0-3, tied it, and then take it home and lose. And I was trying to figure, do they need to break up the tandem of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown? Because Brown looked terrible. He really did. He had 8 turnovers. The only thing that kind of gets me is they're playing at home and front of the, what they say, Boston is one of the best crowds in the NBA. They're not as good as the Knicks fans, but I just think that the fans, you know, had to be disappointed in that performance.
Yeah, that was a very disappointing performance. You look at Jason Tatum, and he said he claims that he had an ankle injury, so that kind of hurt him.
Yep.
And I think when you put too much on one person, like they wanted to, Jaylen Brown was expecting Jason Tatum to be Jason Tatum of 50. And think about it, we all have egos. Look, I have an ego for not seeing my name on the fullback list. You have an ego when you got everybody saying that Jason Tatum is the best player of all time, when Jaylen Brown is thinking, man, if I wouldn't have done what I did, do you see what I'm doing on defense? Do you see what I'm doing on offense? I'm playing all-around game. I can give you 50 if you let me shoot as many times as they let Jason Tatum shoot. And I think there is some animosity, but how do you break up that tandem when I don't think one can carry a team to a championship? They need two superstars. And right now, if they break up that, they would only have one, and that doesn't work in the NBA today.
Yeah, but if Miami plays Denver, Miami really has only one guy. And so that's the thing. I don't know if they can do it, but they do play hard. They do play great defense. They're scrappy. They get what they call the 50-50 balls. And Denver has had the best record in the NBA all season. So I don't see, on paper, Miami having a chance to stay in the game.
Yeah, on paper, they shouldn't even – it should be a sweep. But they always – any prognosticator would say – it goes 5. It probably won't go more than 5. Miami will find a way just because a playoff Jimmy will come out as gangbusters and do. But think about it. They actually have length across the board. Denver does. Across the board. You got Michael Porter Jr., who's 6'9". You got Aaron Gordon, who's 6'10", 6'11". You got Jokic, who's 6'10", 6'11". Jamal Taylor isn't short by any stretch of the imagination. What, he's 6'7", 6'6", 6'7"?
Yep.
Playing guard. So when you look at that entire team, there's a lot of length. And Miami Heat are all small. Look who they're playing with. They're playing with guards that may be 6'5", 6'6". Bam Adebayo is 6'9", 6'10", and is their tallest player on the floor. So from a height advantage, it's going to be really tough to play against that team.
Well, see, the thing I look at is Playoff Jimmy, and he really deserves that nickname because he's clutch as anybody I've ever seen. But he's playing with guys who never even get drafted into the NBA, and that's a tribute to Eric Spoelstra, the head coach. A lot of people think he's one of the best coaches in the league. He spent his first 11 years as a film guy, breaking down film. He took over the head coach, Pat Riley, allowed him to flourish. And now I think he's one of the best coaches. I just don't think they have the talent, because I was impressed the way Denver beat the L.A. Lakers. I mean, all the games were close, but they came through when it was time to come through. Murray, I mean, when he's on, I think he's unstoppable. And then the Joker, I think he deserves the MVP this year. And I think that it's going to be something that, does he show the rest of the world that he's that good? Because Denver's on a different time zone than we are, I think a lot of people don't see their games unless you're watching the playoffs. So it's going to be a time for them to step up big time to show the world that they are legitimately the number one team in the NBA. And I just hope that one or two of the games are competitive to keep me awake, because if it's not a good game, I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I think ABC, who has those games, are crossing their fingers that this won't be a ratings nightmare, because it has the potential to be a ratings nightmare because the games aren't going to be good. Think about it. You got Jokic, who's probably one of the premier passers.
Absolutely.
In the NBA, let alone at the center position. And Miami loves to play zone defense. They, because of their quickness, they love to play zone defense. But what kind of beats the zone is you get a good person that can sit in the middle of that zone and pass the ball like Jokic can. That'll destroy his own defense. And so when you have that situation, they know how to play. They have a lot of movement, action in their offense, and it's just going to be tough. I just don't see how they hang with Denver. And the only reason I'm giving them one game is because I just going to give Playoff Jimmy his due and say, you're going to pull off one game, but I just can't see them winning four.
Well, the thing about it, I think this first game tomorrow, whenever they play the first game, is going to be big time as far as if Miami can get off first. And what I mean by that is that Denver's been off for 9 or 10 days. They kind of got out of their rhythm. And maybe Miami, since they've been playing every other night for a long time, they can sneak one out. It would have to be that first game of the season, that first game of the playoffs. So I just don't know if they can do that. And I just think that the world is going to see some stuff that we haven't seen for a long time, because if this Denver team wins, and if they win handily, it's going to be, they could be in for something, because they got a young team, they got great coaching. And then when you were talking about the zone defense that Miami does, the thing about it is that, and I know ever since high school and college, watching them play, you can get somebody out of zone by knocking down the shots. Yeah. They have to change their defense. And if you can move the ball around with the big guy in the middle hitting the open man, then you're going to make Miami change defenses. But Miami makes adjustments better than any team I've ever seen, so I'm anxious to see what happens. But I just hope that the game is competitive, and I hope that we at least get to every once in a while, I get out of my seat, Charles Way. It's a rarity nowadays that I'm older. You got to do something pretty dramatic for me to get up. And I just hope that there's a couple of those moments in the game where I get up out of my seat.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. Oh, speaking of coaching and being one of the best coaches, two coaches have just landed new spots. Adrian Griffin is going to be the new coach of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
And Nick Nurse is going to be the new coach of the Philadelphia 76ers. What do you think about the two hires?
Well, I think Nurse is really going to help your 76ers. Mm-hmm. You know, he coached Toronto, and they went to the championship with Kawhi Leonard. The only thing I don't know about is Griffin. Can he really do a good job in Milwaukee? Milwaukee's a playoff team. They won the championship a couple of years ago. You got to bring something to the table. Mm-hmm. And think about it, these days in the NBA, they don't mess around. I mean, if you don't do well right away, you might get fired. I'm trying to figure, are they going to fire Joe from the Celtics? And this is only his first year coaching, and he made some mistakes down the stretch. So, you know, but I think Nurse and you being a Philadelphia guy, I think you got to be pleased by this coaching move they made. As long as, but I don't know about you know, your point guard. I just don't know. If he could do it, because he did exactly what I told you, he didn't come through in the clutch.
he sure did, and I have mixed feelings, because you look at what they did during the season. They played well together, him and Joel Embiid. But at when it counts, it's all now the process era. The Joel Embiid era is about winning championships now. It's not about making the playoffs and
yep, or MVP.
And if you can't win a championship, then if you don't bring anything to the table to win the championship, I think then that got to be a contributing factor for the general manager Daryl Morey to say, I may not want to bring you back because you can't deliver what we need. And I'm not going to spend $200 million. The man wants $200 million over 4 years, and I don't think he's worth $200 million over 4 years. And so I think, from that standpoint, I don't think you bring them back. You say you can come back if you're going to play for $100 million, but outside of playing for $100 million, I can't see them bringing them back. And Nurse reminds, you know who Nurse, what Nick Nurse reminds me of, because he's a musician as well. Uh-huh. He reminds me of Phil Jackson.
That really?
Big, quirky type of coach,
yep,
who does outrageous things, because you know Phil was a Zen master, because he was all into that meditation, yep, and all that other stuff.
Yep.
The crazy stuff that people weren't hip to at the time. And so I think Nick Nurse is like that. And it may be good for Philly to have somebody like Nick Nurse. You might just start seeing the next legendary Phil Jackson come about and win. Because look, Doc may even have another superstar team. Doc may be the coach in line for the Phoenix Suns. So how about that? Doc Rivers coaching the Phoenix Suns, they go through the season, they get into the championship, and they lose because they can't put them away. Doc may be cursed because he can't win a 7-game series.
Anyway, you've been listening to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Way. We're on each and every week talking the world of sports. We always spend the fourth quarter talking NBA action because it is fantastic. I got to thank Ben back in the studio. Ben makes us sound good every single week. And for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice day.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.